Begin the current daven sech, the Shabbos daf Samach Vav. Begin on the bottom of Samach Hem and Beis on the bottom line, where we continue with the next Mishnah. Our parak is talking about things which a person is allowed to or not allowed to go out with in Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos, because it's going to be considered Haitzah, carrying, transmitting, things which are external to the person, not intrinsic to the person. Now our Mishnah discusses regarding a handicapped person, three different types of crippled people in ascension of getting worse, different types of cases, what these people are allowed to go with on Shabbos and what not. So the Mishnah begins. An amputee is allowed to go out with his wooden shoe on Shabbos, because this is a person that lost his foot, and now this wooden shoe is considered his shoe, although he doesn't have a foot, but it's now his, it's a shoe for his foot, and therefore he's allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. To be a mayor, like every person allowed to go out with shoes on Shabbos, this person is allowed to go out with his wooden shoe, although he doesn't have a foot, it's considered his shoe. However, continue on top of Samach Vav and Medav. Rabbi Yosi says that it's forbidden because it's not a tachshit, it's not an ornament to a person, this thing. It's just, so to speak, that it shouldn't be like without a foot. And therefore, it's not considered a shoe like everybody else, and you're not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos in Rosh Hashanah. However, he does say, Vim Yishle Beis Kibul Kasisin, if it has a receptacle for rags, and that is, it was engraved in the wooden block that's used as his, so to speak, his wooden shoe, that it is room to accept rags of old worn out clothing to put the top of the bottom of a stump on that, then it's a bekabel tumah, that is the tumah that's called tumas mag. Anything that touches it, it could transmit to tumah. It's considered a keli regarding the halachas of tumah. However, if it only has a receptacle for his stump, for his foot that's going into it, but it doesn't have room where to put the rags, then it's not considered a base kibul, a receptacle to have the halacha of tumah on it as a keli, because the halacha is, that's considered pshuti kliyetz, like a flat wooden a vessel that doesn't have a receptacle. And the pasuk says that the halacha of the tumah of the wooden keli is learned out from sack, from a sackcloth. And just like we learn by a sackcloth, that it has to be able to carry something that's inside of it. So to hear, if there's space for the rags, it was carved out and they put rags over there, so therefore it's considered a receptacle, then it could have a mekabel tumah. But if not, the fact that his stump goes on that wooden shoe is not considered carrying the stump, because the stump is not carried by it. Rather, almost the stem carries the shoe with it, and therefore it's not considered a keli to be mekabel tumah, only if it has a receptacle for rags, only then would it be mekabel tumah. Then the Gemara continues to the second level of an amputee, of someone that's even worse off. And it says three halachas related to this level. Smuchi shaloi, regarding the supports of a kiteya, and that is, there are some kiteyas that are an amputee in both feet, and that is, he goes on his lower legs and on his knees, and they make supports out of leather, or out of hide for his shins, and that is not just one foot that he's missing, it's by both feet. So therefore, such a type of a kiteya that has these supports, there's three halachas that apply it. One is tamei medrash. It becomes tamei if he's a zav, he's someone that has the seminal, he has these emissions that come out of his member that makes him a certain tumah. He conveys it when he puts all his body weight, which is called a tumah of medrash, which of stepping, of pushing down, since he uses this to support his whole body, and therefore it's going to turn into the avatumah of medrash. Second halacha is v'yitzim b'shabbos. He's allowed to go out with these supports on Shabbos, and that is because since for him this is his tachshit, it is his ornament that he uses, therefore it's considered something that you could go out with on Shabbos. And the third halacha is b'nichnas min bazar, that he's allowed to go into the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash with these shoes. And that is, although it says in the Mishnah, Masechtas Brachos, lo yikonis odim lahar bayis b'mnol, you now go into the Temple Mount with your shoes on, but these are not halachically shoes, because they're not at the edge of his feet, because he doesn't have feet. It's on his thighs, and therefore he's allowed to go out into the Azara with these shoes on, because halachically they're not shoes, they're not on his feet. Now the third level, which also has three halachas, is kisei usmuche shalai, regarding the worse off kiteya, that he has a chair and he has supports, and that is, this is a type of a person that his muscles and his tendons has already atrophied, that he has no use of them at all. And he can't even go on his knees, and because he doesn't have any support from his muscles there. So therefore they make for him like a small, shallow type of a chair, and he sits on it. And when he goes, he leans on his hands on these small little types of chairs that he uses to push his hands on, and he like pushes his body up, and he pushes himself forward, and then he gets back up, sits back up, and he has a chair tied from him from behind. So he has that chair, and he has these supports that they make for this kiteya, that their supports made out of hide, out of leather, or out of wood, and they're made for his thighs or for his legs that are hanging there, so to speak, because it has no muscles, no support. And when he leans on his hands and he he propels himself forward, he leans his feet on them also. So regarding this third level of kiteya of an amputee, that his chair and his supports have three halachas. One, it's tamei medrash, because again, he weighs his whole body on it, and therefore it has the application of tamei medrash. Second halacha is ve'ein yoytzei ben Shabbos, he's not allowed to go with it on Shabbos, and that is because since they're hanging these supports, and they're not really laying on the ground, sometimes they could fall down, and therefore you might come to carry it for Amos and Shutz Rab. And third of all, the ein nechnas mem hazar, he's not allowed to go with them into the azar, to the court, to the base of English, because ultimately their shoes, they're on his feet. Although he has no muscles and tendons, he can't even support himself, and he has the worst of, so to speak, of all the three. However, since they're on his feet, they're considered shoes, and he cannot go into the azar, into the courtyard with it. The Mishnah concludes with a different halacha, looked him into hayin. Looked him in, the Gemara is going to say three different explanations, but one of them is a mask that the jesters wear to scare the little children. They are tar, they're not going to be mekabel any tumah, because it's not a kli tashra, it's not a vessel that's used for anything, and therefore to be mekabel tumah, it has to be a vessel. And also, v'en yotzei ben yinal go out with these masks on Shabbos, because it's not a tashra, it's not an ornament, it's not an adornment, it's just used to scare little children, and therefore it's not intrinsic to the person, so it's considered a masya, a burden, you can't go with it on Shabbos. So now the Gemara discusses the first case of our Mishnah. Omar Rav of Nachman, Heichitnan, Rav of Nachman. How did we learn our Mishnah? That is, was it as our version is that Reb Meir said that the Kiteya, the amputee, could go out with his wooden shoes on Shabbos, and Reb Yossi said that it's forbidden? Or was it the reverse? The Reb Meir said that the Kiteya, the amputee, is not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos, and Reb Yossi was the one, to the contrary, that he said that it's mutter. So Omar Leidan says, I don't know the correct version. So he asked in Hilchasim, what's the halacha? Who does it follow? You're allowed to go out with wooden shoes on Shabbos or not? Amalei Leidan says, I don't know that, I don't know if it's considered intrinsic to the person or not. However, Itma, we learned that Omer Shmuel said, Ein Hekiteya, the way the version of Remeya, not like our Mishnah, he says that, Remeya says that the amputee cannot go out with these wooden shoes on Shabbos. And so to Rav Huna said, Ein Hekiteya, the amputee is not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos, and Rav Yisi was the one that said that it's mutter. So Rav Yosef concluded, since Shmuel said that Remeya's version was that the amputee is not allowed to go out with the wooden shoes. He also says Enikiteya. So we also are going to learn our version of the Mishnah, which is not like the way we quote our Mishnah, is that Remeya is the one that says that the amputee is not allowed to go out with it, and Yosef is the one that says that it's mutter. But Maskevla Rava Bar Shira. But Rava Bar Shira asked on this. Didn't you hear about this, that Rav Chanan bar Rava had learned to Chir bar Rav, kamei de Rav in front of Rav, b'kitunah bei Rav, in the little room that Rav had all for the Beis Medrash, and that he said, that Remeir's opinion is that the kiteya, the amputee, is not allowed to go out with his wooden shoes. Reb Yosi mat, Reb Yosi was the one that says it's mutter. The way Shmuel says, Reb Huna says it, not like the version of our Mishnah. Umach vele Rav epuch, and Rav signaled him, no, the reverse, the way we have it in our Mishnah. So therefore, how can you say that, like Shmuel and Rav Huna, that's the way we're going to have the gears of our Mishnah, when Rav said that's not the correct, rather it's supposed to be as we quoted from our Mishnah. There are mayors, the one that says it's mutter, and the one that says it's awesome. So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, b'simona and the manik, if you want to remember the correct version, which is the version of our Mishnah, the way Rav had told him to correct it, is samach samach. That is Reb Yosi Oyster, these two samachs, to have these two samachs near each other, to say that it was Reb Yosi that was the one that said it's forbidden, and not Remeir, rather Remeir was the one that says that it's permitted, the way we have it in our Mishnah. So the Gemara says that ultimately, v'av Shmuel hadabe, that even Shmuel ultimately reversed his opinion, that is, although he had said that Enikite, the Remeir was the one that said that's Asa, ultimately says the way our Gersa in our Mishnah is, the Remeir is the one that said that it's permitted, and Reb Yosi was the one that said it's Asa. The Tanan, as you learn in the Mishnah Yavam, is regarding the halachas of Chalitza, that is when a woman's husband dies without any children, then her husband's brother has to marry her in Yibam, and if he doesn't want to, then he does Chalitza, that is the woman takes off his shoe and spits in it and says that this is the one that didn't want to build up the house of his brother that died without any children. So the Mishnah speaks about different cases of when she didn't do it exactly how it's supposed to be. That is Cholza Besanul Shein Shloi, let's say if she did Chalitza with a shoe that's not owned by his, not really his shoe, or Besanul Shel Eitz, or with a shoe made out of wood, Oishel Smol B'Yamin, or if she changed the left one for the right one, that is, she took the left shoe and she tied on his right foot and did chalitza, took it off and did the whole process, which really you're supposed to do chalitza with the right shoe, as the Gemara learns, regal from mitzari, just like mitzari has to be with the right, so too the chalitza has to be with the right. So if she did these not exactly how it's supposed to be ways, however, the Mishnah says chalitza kasher, the chalitza is kosher. All these ways is not ideal, but it's yetzir the chiyuv. V'aminim ha'tanim, we said, who is the tan that says that a sandal of eitz, that a wooden shoe is considered a shoe? So Shmuel said, Remehi, it's Remehi of our Mishnah, the Tanzu learn the Mishnah, Hakiteya Yitzhak Bekavshalay, that the amputee is allowed to go out with on Shabbos with his wooden foot, and that is because it has a locha like a shoe, and just like anyone could wear a shoe, so too this guy could wear his wooden shoe. And the same thing would apply to Chalitza, that it's considered a shoe, and that is that he says that it's mutter, and Div Remeir, that's the opinion of Remeir. So obviously Shmuel ultimately ended up saying that Remeir is the one that says that you could go out with the wooden shoe, that it has a halachic status of a shoe, and therefore the same would apply to Chalitza, that the wooden shoe is a shoe. And Rabbi Yisai, it was Rabbi Yisai that says that it's awesome. So the Gemara says, "Af Rav Huna Hadabei," that ultimately even Rav Huna, who was also the one that said Girsa Nalik our Mishnah, that Remeir was the one that says that the Kitei, the amputee, is not allowed to go out with his wooden shoe. Ultimately, he reversed as our Girsa. The Taz learned the Brisa. We learned Sandal Shasayadin regarding the shoes of the plaster sellers. That is, the one who would sell plaster, when they were working with the plaster, they would put on these shoes that were made out of straw because the plaster would burn the leather of their shoes. So regarding these shoes made out of straw, the halacha is that we consider it like a regular shoe, like a regular kli, and that is tummy medrus. It's makabel tumah of medrus. If someone puts all his weight on a kli, it's makabel tumah, and this is a kli. V'yishe chaletzes by a woman could do chalitza with it. It's a regular shoe. The yitzim of Shabbos, you could go out with it on Shabbos, like again, like a regular shoe. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, that's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. V'loy hoy d'loy. However, the rest of the chacham did not agree to him. But then the Gemara asks, but Tanya and the Gra says the prekis of Vatnan, because the Mishnah and Idias, Hoidula, that they did agree to him. So did they agree or did they not? So Rav Huna says, it depends. Some agreed, some didn't. Man Hoidula, who are those that agreed to Reb Kiva? That's Reb Meir. As we mentioned before, that he's the town of a Mishnah, and that Rav Huna ultimately reversed and says that Tikitei, the amputee, is allowed to go out with his wooden shoe on Shabbos. And you see that things like straw and wood are considered regular shoes. And that's how we see the Rav Huna also reversed and said Remei is the one that says that you're allowed to go out with them on Shabbos. Uman loy hoidloy, who are those that argue and says that you're not, that we don't consider these shoes made out of other materials, not shoes? That's Rabbi Yasi, because he says in our Mishnah that you're not allowed to go out with the wooden shoe on Shabbos because it's not considered a shoe. And therefore you see that even Rav Huna reversed and considered Remei the one that says you're allowed to go out with it, that it is a shoe, versus Rabbi Yasi is the one that says that it's awesome. So the Gemara says that Amr Rabbi Yosef man lo hoidlo. Who else is it that doesn't agree to Rabbi Kiva and says that these shoes made out of straw, that this material made out of straw is not going to be a keli? So the Gemara says Rabbi Yechman Nuri. It's Rabbi Yechman Nuri that he says that things made out of straw are not going to be considered keli, even if wood would be, but not straw. The Tanaz learned in the Mishnah. Kaveri shel kash, and the Gra says the proper girsa is machzela shel kash, a mat made out of straw. V'shefer shel konim, and the Gra again says that the proper girsa is v'shefer shel kash, that a tube made out of straw. Rebekiva matam, Rebekiva says it's makabel tuma. These things are vessels. It's a mat, it's a tube, it's a keli. And although it's made out of straw, it doesn't make a difference. As we mentioned before, Rebekiva says something made out of straw could be considered a keli. Therefore, it's makabel tuma. Rebekiva says that it's tar, and that is, he says that since it's a, although it's a vessel, but since it's made out of straw and it's not wood, it's not going to makabel tuma. We only have in the pasuk that we see different items. We have wood, we have metal, but we never see about straw. But Rebekiva says that no. Straw has the same halachic status as wood, since they're both hard, it considers like a kli made out of wood, and therefore it's going to be kabel tumah, and therefore Rabbi Yechim and Nuri would argue in that statement of the sandal shel sayadin that it's not considered a keli at all because it's made out of straw, and we never find that a keli made out of straw is a keli. So now the Gemara returns to what Rabbi Kiva said, Omamar, sandal shel sayadin tumah medrash, that the shoe of the plaster sellers will be makabel the tumah of medrash. That is, it's a shoe, and the person puts all his weight in it. And we said the halacha of medrash is, when you put all your weight in it, it's makabel the tumah of medrash. But the Gemara asks, Holav lehi luchi avdi, these shoes of the plaster sellers are not made, they're not designated for walking. It's just that his shoes shouldn't get burnt when he's dealing with the plaster. So they put on this material that's not going to get burnt. And we know regarding the halachas of medrash, that has to be designated for that. And that is, if let's say someone take a box that you usually put things on, and he turns it upside down, and he sits on it. So they say, it's not makabel tumah of medrash, although he's sitting in there putting all his weight. They say, hey, get up, and let's do our work, and they turn it right side up. So here also, since these shoes are not meant for walking, and for putting one's weight, so therefore it shouldn't be makabel tumah of medrash at all. And that the Gemara says, it's not true. That Amar Rav Acha bar Rav Ula shekin hasayid mitayil by Ashur Megillah Beis. Since the plaster seller does walk with the shoes until he gets home, and then he takes off all his dirty clothing that he was wearing the whole day, so since he actually walks in it sometimes, so therefore it's considered shoes, and therefore it's going to be kabbalah tum of medrus, because again he puts his whole weight in it, and that's the tum of medrus. So Gemara continues quoting from a Mishnah that said, "V'im yeshle beis kibul kasisin tamei," that we spoke about this machlekes Remei and Rabbi Yosi regarding these wooden shoes. If you're allowed to go out with it on Shabbos, if it's considered a shoes or not. So the Mishnah said that if it has a receptacle for rags, that is, his stump should not get injured when it's weighing on this wooden shoe. So then if it has that receptacle for the rags, then it's mekabel tumah. We said if it's not, then it's not considered keli because it's not carrying anything because it doesn't carry the stump. Therefore, it's only tumah if it's mekabel the rags. So I'm Abaya. Abaya says this, that we said that now it's a keli, it's a vessel, because it has a receptacle for the rags, that's mekabel tumah. He says that tumah tumas mes. It's only going to be mekabel the tumah of mess and other types of tumas, but the ain't tummy medras, it will not be makabla tumma of medras, and that is because these wooden shoes are not meant for the person's support. That is, this amputee that he doesn't have his foot, he doesn't use that as a support for his body, and therefore it's not meant to put your weight on it. And the tumma of medras is only something that's meant to put your weight on it. So therefore, this wooden shoe is just meant to even out his feet, that it shouldn't be weird that he only has one foot. So therefore, it's not going to makabla tumma of medras. And this that it said that, but it is mekabel tumah of mess. The truth is, it's mekabel old tumas of maga of touch. The reason why is just, he said that it's ain tame medris, it's not mekabel tumah of medris, which is an ava tumah. So therefore, he always also said, but it is mekabel tumah of mess, which is also ava tumah. That is, it could become an ava tumah through a mess, which is when you have a kli eitz, a receptacle, a vessel made out of wood that has that receptacle. It's mekabel tumah of touching or in the same oil. And that's through old tumas he becomes a rishon, but through a mess, which is avi avisa tumas, like a grandfather of tumah, so then he becomes an avatumah. But the equivalent of an avatumah of medrash, that he won't be mekabel that tumah, because again, as Abaye said, it's not meant for smicha, for putting all your weight on it. It's just as an ornament for this person, as it shouldn't look weird that he has only one foot. And therefore they say, amoid v'nasa machtina, get up, but let's do our work. Just like we say when a box, which turns upside down, you say, let's turn the right side up. It's not meant for putting your weight on it. Same thing would apply to this wooden shoe. And again, it's not meant for the person to put all his weight on it. And therefore it's not makabel tumah of medrash. However, Rava Amar Rava argues, and he says, no, after medrash, he's even makabel tumah of medrash. And the reason is, since sometimes this person would sit on it, he'd put all his weight on it, and that's why, here also, since this person that's an amputee, since sometimes he weighs his foot down on the wooden shoe, therefore it's also mekabel tumah of medrash. And Omar Arva Menah Minalai says, Rabbi says, where do I get this from? That if sometimes it's used to put your weight on, then it's considered something that's designated for putting all your weight on and mekabel tumah of medrash. So now as you learn in the Mishnah, Agola Shel Katan, regarding the wagon of little kids that they used to play with and they carry it around, Tameya Medrash, that's mekabel tumah of medrash. And that is, since sometimes the kids sit on it and one kid pulls the other one. So here also, since sometimes the person puts his weight on the wooden shoe, it's going to mekabel tumah of medrash. Vabaya Ma Abai says no. Hasam samechilevi. There, the children actually do put their weight in it. Like you said, sometimes they go in it. Hochalei samechilevi. Here, the amputee never puts his weight on it. And as Abai even says even more, he says, "Om Abai, menu aminilefim." Where do I know that it doesn't help that sometimes, once in a while, you're going to put your weight on it because sometimes the guy might be leaning on that one foot. That's considered, that's designated for that dash mekabel tumah of medrash. The Tanya has learned the brayso. Makal shel zekeinim tar meklum. The stick of older people that they use as a walking stick is tar from any tumah. That is both regarding it won't be mekabel tumah of medrash and it won't be mekabel the other tumas. That is the reason why it won't be mekabel tumah of medrash Abaye shows is because it's not meant for putting your weight on it, because these people walk with their feet, and this is in spite of the fact that sometimes he might lean on the stick. And the other tumas also, since it's pshuti kliyetz, it had the stick has no hollow. We know pshuti kliyetz and not mekabel tumah. So Abaye proves that although sometimes the old person might weigh on it, since the main purpose of this stick is not meant for weighing on it, it's not mekabel tumah of medrash. So here also, since this wooden shoe is not meant for putting weight on it, although sometimes it might happen, you see that's not enough to make it a tumah of medrash. But Rava says no. Hasam over there, and we continue on Talmud Beis, l'srutze sugyavi, by regarding the old man's walking stick, the stick is to straighten his steps. And that is that he should stand upright because his feet and his thighs, they shake. And it's not to weigh for him to put his weight of his body on it. And that's why it's not mekabel tumah of medrash. But here the kitei, the amputee, it's made that he could weigh his weight on it. That's what it's like, almost like a foot that he uses it for. And he weighs on it. And therefore it is mekabel tumah of medrash. And that's why he argues in Abaye that it is going to mekabel tumah of medrash, not just the tumah of old vessels, of tumas mes and all other things that touch it, even from the tumah of medrash. So the Gemara resumes quoting the Mishnah, and the Bach puts in the words kisei v'smucha shalai, regarding the third level of this amputee, which is that all his muscles and tendons have totally atrophied. So we see that regarding his cheer and his supports, that Tamei in Medrash, the Mekabel Tumah of Medrash, because he puts all his weight on it and is made for that. The Ein Yotzei Mem Shabbos, the second halacha was that you're not going to go out with these on Shabbos, because sometimes they might fall off, because they're not always on the ground. The Ein Nechnas Men Lazar, and we said the third halacha was that you're not allowed to enter the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash with them, because ultimately you have regular feet and there are shoes on your foot, although you can't use your feet and even your knees, you can't use, because you don't have any muscles over there, but still it's shoes. And that's why you can't go into the Azara. So the Gemara says, Tana Tani Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, that a Tana had learned from these different brises in front of Rabbi Yochanan, Nichnasin Ben Lazar, that one is allowed to enter into the Azara with these shoes, that they're not, they don't have the lachik status of shoes. So Amalei Rabbi Yochanan said to him, Ani Shoyna Isha Chiletz's boy, I learned regarding these shoes of this third level Kiteya, that his feet have atrophied, but there are feet that a woman could do chalitza with them. Obviously, he considers it a shoe because you need to have a shoe to do chalitza. You say that you could enter the Azara with them. You can't go into the Azara with shoes. And I'm obviously considering it shoes. Therefore, Tani, you should learn that one is not allowed to enter the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash with the shoes of the person that his feet have atrophied, that his muscles don't work. As our Mishnah says, that one is not allowed to enter them because they are considered halachically shoes. And finally, the Mishnah concluded that luktim in tahirim, that these luktim in are tahir. So the Gemara gives three different shot in my luktim in. What are luktim in? So the first shot, the Gemara says, Amar Bavo, chamru de'achva. These are the donkeys that go on the shoulders. The jesters, they make a joke, they would take like a doll that looked like a donkey on their shoulders. It looked like they were riding on the donkey, and really they weren't. So this toy is not a vessel. It's not something that's also intrinsic to the person. Therefore, you can't go with it on Shabbos, and therefore it's tahor because it's not a klei tashmi. It's not something that you use. It's not a utensil that's used, and therefore it's not mekabel tumah. The second shot the Gemara brings is Rav Papa Mekashiri. They're stilts, and that is these are things that they're not considered a utensil that a person uses. As Tosis says, some the jesters that you go to chasn, they wear these stilts, and therefore it's not considered something that's mekabel tumah because it's not a keli, and it's also not considered something you can go out with on Shabbos because it's not real shoes, it's not something that's really designated, it's not intrinsic to the person. And finally, the third pshat the Gemara brings, what are these luktim in? Rav bar Rav Huna amar parmi. They're masks, as we said in the Mishnah, that they tie it onto their face and they scare the little children with it. And again, since it's not kli tashmish, it's not a vessel, it's not a utensil that's used for something, therefore it's not makabel tumah, and since it's not a takshet, it's not an adornment for the person, it's not jewelry, it's not something intrinsic to the person, that's why you're not allowed with it on Shabbos into Rosh Hashanah. So now the Gemara continues with the following Mishnah again, continuing about the things that a person is allowed to go out with into Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, Habonim yitz miksharam, that the little boys are allowed to go out with knots on Shabbos. And the Gemara is going to explain what are these knots. And also, uvenei melochim bezugin, and that princes are allowed to go out with bells around their neck. They're made out of gold, and they're beautifying the prince, and they're for an adornment. And the truth is, the Mishnah says, v'chalod, the same applies to every person. But the Chacham, our sages, spoke of what's prevalent, and generally, princes are the ones that wear these bells, not regular people. But the same would apply, once it's considered an adornment for the princes, the same would apply to every single person. So the Gemara is Mike Shrum, what are these knots that boys are allowed to go with on Shabbos? So Adamori, Omer of Nachem, Baruch, Omer of Ashi, Bar Oven, Omer of Yehuda, Kishuri Pua. These are knots of the madder plant. And that is, they tie it in knots and they hang it around the neck as a refua, which Rashi says doesn't know for what sickness, but they're used as a healing. As the Gemara brings Zerma Baya, Amaliyim, my mother told me, Tilsa Mukmi, three of these knots, they contain the sickness that it shouldn't get worse. Chamisha Masu, five of them heal the person, and Shiva Filich Shafmali, and seven of these knots, even help for witchcraft, which is very difficult to deal with. However, Omer of Achab Yaakov, he qualifies it, and he says, one is that these matter knots, these plants, were never exposed to sunlight or to moonlight. Also, Velechazi Mitri never saw rain. Velechmile Kolbarzile never heard the sound of metal. Velechal Golta never heard the sound of a rooster. And finally, Velechal Nigri never heard the sound of footsteps. And so on that, the Gemara says, Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, if that's the case, it needs all these different five qualifications, which are very common to happen, or else it won't work as a healing thing. Nafal puta bebir, then the puta, the matter plant, fell into the pit. And that is, this healing of the put, it's not going to help anybody because nobody can be careful about not hearing footsteps or sunlight or moonlight, and therefore there's no use in having this healing properties. But now the Gemara asks, on this pshat that said that the ksharim, that the boys, the knots, are allowed to go with on Shabbos, refers to these knots of the matter plant that's healing. So then the Gemara says, if that's the case, the Gemara asks Anya Behuda, so then Ma'iri Bonim, why did we say that only the boys could go out with it? I feel upon this Nami, then girls also should be able to go out with it. They also need the healing properties of this matter plant. And moreover, Ma'ir Katan, why do we say only small, meaning banim, small boys, I feel good, not even big boys, even adults. They should also be able to go out with these matter knots around their neck for healing. So David the Gemara says a different shot. What are these knots? As the Gemara is later going to bring many more statements of Amar Huna talking about refuah on Shabbos, which is mutter, that he said that ben sheyesh lav gagun alav, regarding a son that has yearnings to his father, and that is he has like a separation anxiety from his father, and he can't go away from him. And the reason why he picks sons and not daughters is because daughters don't have that type of relationship with their fathers like boys do. So therefore, what should the father do? Noitil ritzua miminol shayimin. He takes the shoelace of his right shoe, and the koshel levismali ties it onto the boy's left hand, and that's the ksharm, these knots. It means to knot his right shoelace onto the boy's left hand. So Amr Nachma Yitzchak Semenecha, and the mnemonic to remember this, that it has to be the right shoelace of the father onto the left hand of the boy, is tefillin. That is just like tefillin, the right hand ties onto the left arm. So too here is the right shoelace onto the left hand of the boy. The Gemara says, why is it so important to remember this? Because of chilufa sakanta, if one does the exact opposite, that he ties the left shoelace on the boy's right hand, it's danger, because then the boy might actually have even greater yearnings for his father, and it's going to have such a traumatic effect in him that it could be a danger to his life. And therefore, it's very important to remember that, again, it's the right shoelace on the left arm. So the Gemara continues with other types of refuas that are mutter and Shabbos. Like here we said, he's allowed to go with these knots, meaning the father's right shoelace on his left arm, that other things that are mutter on Shabbos. Amar Avin Bar Huna, Amar Abcham Bar Gurya, from the same Amar, S'chufi kasa tivur b'shabbat ha-shabbadami. To invert a cup on one's navel by the person's lower stomach on Shabbos is mutter. And that is, they take a cup that has a lot of heat in it. For example, let's say they just poured out hot water from the cup, and you turn it over onto the navel by the belly button for someone that has a stomach ache, and the cup pulls, grabs the skin, the flesh, and it draws the intestines towards where the cup is, and it puts it back into the place where it's supposed to be. That is mutter to do on Shabbos. And the reason for this halacha and the halachas that follow, although it seems that it's refuah, which it is, it's healing the person, and refuah is also on Shabbos, midrabanan, is that the Chacham said that refuah, healing, is also on Shabbos only because of a gezer. And the gezer was, because in those days they didn't have Advil or Tylenol, things on the shelf ready to take. They would take medicinal herbs and grind it down, and then they would take the pills. And since teichin, grinding on Shabbos, is also, therefore said, you're not allowed to take medicine because you might come to grind on Shabbos. But things the place can say that are not, can never be healed through taking a pill, therefore you'll never come to do teichin for that. That is mutter on Shabbos. And therefore, since here the stomach ailment, there's no pill that heals it. It's not by taking some medicinal herbs. Therefore, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos because it's not going to even come to ever do teichin. And therefore, there's no reason for the gzeir d'rabban of refuah. Similarly, from the same Amoria, we learn v'amar oven bahuna amar avcham baguria, mutter losach shemen emelech b'shabbos. One is allowed to smear oil and salt on Shabbos on the palm of one's hands and on the sole of one's feet. As the Gemara brings, what was the purpose of this? Ki hadi Rav Huna mibi Rav, as when Rav Huna was coming back from the house of Rav, that was his Rebbe, and the same Rav mibi Reb Chiya, when Rav was coming back from his Rebbe, which was Reb Chiya, and Reb Chiya mibi Rebbe, when Reb Chiya was coming back from his Rebbe, who was Reb Yehuda Anasi, ki havi mevasmi, when they were drunk, and that is the Rebbeim used to give them wine to drink, and since these students were very chashim, the Rebbeim would make for them something to take away the drunkenness that they had. So what did they do? Ma'isi mishcha u'milcha. Their rebbeim, their teachers, would bring them oil and salt. V'shayfilahu l'gav yosed eidayu. And they would smear it on the palms of their hands. V'gav yosed karayu. And on the soles of their feet. V'amrin, they would say the following thing. Ki heichi ditzil hai mishcha. Just like this oil is thinning, and that is, it would get more diluted, it would get thinner every moment from the heat of one's skin, of the flesh, it heats it up, and therefore it would be diluting. So too should the wine of this individual, the son of that woman, also thin out. And that was the idea, whether to take the oil and the salt, that it would be thinning out. And it would say this thing, that his wine should also thin out. And that would be the way they would, so to speak, dilute his drunkenness, and that he wouldn't be drunk in the street. But v'iloi, and if not, if they didn't have oil or salt and they couldn't do this procedure, then you do the following procedure. Ma'isi shia didanim. They would bring a clay of seal of a barrel, the shari lebemaya, and they would soak it in water, and then say the following thing, kihecha de litzl hai shea, just like this seal is thinning, that's because it's because of the water that it's being dissolved in, leitzl chamer de plan, so too should the wine of this person also be thinned out, again, a way of to get rid of his drunkenness. So the Gemara continues with the same Amora regarding the same halachas of refuah and Shabbos. V'amar oven barhuna omra avcham bagurya mutu lechanik b'Shabbos. It's permitted to strangle on Shabbos, and that is, if someone had a vertebrae in his neck, in his back that was dislodged, and it got pushed into where his throat is. So they would hang him from his head so that his neck should stretch, and that's similar to strangling, and that would straighten out his spine, almost like a chiropractic procedure. And again, as we said, although Rafu is Asr and Shabbos, since this cannot be accomplished by taking a pill, therefore there's never going to come to Teich, and that's why it's mutter to do on Shabbos. Similarly, it's permitted to wrap an infant on Shabbos. That is, they would wrap the child that was just born with clothing, and they would tie it with a very wide belt, and that would straighten out the different dislodged limbs of the infant, which are very soft, and they get moved out of place through the birth pangs. And therefore, that is permitted on Shabbos again, because that cannot be accomplished through a pill, and that's why it's mutter on Shabbos. So now the Gemara says, related to these halachas of Oven Bahuna that he said regarding these last two cases of a child, which is one regarding wrapping the child and the one we mentioned before regarding the gagu and the yearnings of the child. So there was a different tradition about who said what regarding the Masari B'Shem Amrei, who had said it. As the Gemara says, Papa Masni Bonim, Papa learned children, in other words, plural, regarding he had two statements he heard from Oven Bahuna related to children. And that is, as we said, that's regarding the sharm, regarding the knots, that the gagum, the child has these yearnings for the father, and regarding the wrappings of the infant that was just born. Rav Zvid Masni Ben, Rav Zvid learns only, he said, son, meaning in the singular, that one statement he heard regarding a child in the name of Amrahunam. As the Gemara says, Rav Papa Masni Bonim, he says, sons, plural. V'tavayu Masni Lub Amrahunam, that he had learned both statements that we had mentioned, in the name of Mahuna, that both the case of Gaguin, of the yearnings, that you're allowed to use this sharm, which is to knot the father's right shoelace on the boy's left arm, and to wrap the infant with these clothing to straighten out his limbs, he learned both these statements in the name of Mahuna, as our Gemara had quoted. However, Zvin Masni Ben, he only learned son, meaning in the singular, Kamaisa Masni Bar Mahuna, the first statement regarding the halacha of the gaguin, of the yearnings of the son, that he allowed to tie the shoelace of the father, that he said, like in the name of Mahuna, as we said. But v'hai, but regarding the second case of lapufi, of to wrap the infant, that masni la b'rabba b'chana, that he had learned in his tradition, in the name of Rabba b'chana. As the Gemara says, Dam Rabba b'chana, lapufi yinuka b'shabbat shabbatim, that he also said the same statement, that to wrap an infant at Shabbos is mutter, again, since it cannot be accomplished through a pill, there's no reason to be goyiz refuah, and that's why it's mutter to do that on Shabbos, and it's just saying that his tradition was not in the name of Merhuna, he had it in the name of Rabba b'chana. So the Gemara continues with different refuahs, different healing techniques. Amar Abaya, Amri Lei, my mother told me, Kol Minyan, regarding all countings, and this is a reference to the lechishas, the incantations, these spells that they would say when they would do these different healing things, that, and the reason why they called it countings, minyani, is because since they repeat it twice, sometimes three times, sometimes even more, that's what's called minyani, the counting, because they would count it one time, two times, three times. So he says, whenever you say these phrases, bishma de'ima, you're always supposed to use the name of the mother. That is, you say plainly, let's say Chayim, ben plainis, the son of the woman, ben, let's say ben sar, that you should say it, the son of the mother, not the son of the father. And also the chol kitri b'smola. And all these knots, whenever you have to do a knot regarding these things, you do it with the left. But Amabaya, Amileyem, Abaya said also, my mother told me, kol minyoni de mefarshi kin mefarshi. All these countings that are explicit, that say that how many times you should repeat it, that's how many times you should repeat it, as it said. Udoloi mefarshi are bon b'chad zimni. And the ones that are not explicit, they don't say how many times you should repeat it 41 times. That was the tradition he had from his mother. Now the Gemara resumes talking about refuah on Shabbos regarding healing things on Shabbos. Turn up, and we learn the Braisa. Yoitzin be'evin tekuma b'Shabbos. A woman is allowed to go out with a preserving stone, which is called the evin tekuma on Shabbos. And this is a certain type of stone that the women would wear that were pregnant that they shouldn't miscarry. Mishum Reb Meir, and name Reb Meir said even more. Not only could you go out with the evin tekuma because it's considered refuah, it's intrinsic to the person that you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos, it's not considered carrying. That af b'mishkal evin tekuma, even the counterweight of the evin tekuma, that is, if let's say someone weighed the evin tekuma on par with another weight, that weight is also going to be considered with the same properties as the evin tekuma, and you could even go with that on Shabbos. So then the Gemara says that this that you're allowed to go with Evan to Kuman Shabbos is Beloisha Pila. We're not talking about a woman that already miscarried. And that is, don't say that the woman's allowed to wear the Evan to Kuma is only for a woman that were concerned that she's going to miscarry the child that she's carrying because she had already miscarried once before. Elishematapel. It's even if the woman never miscarried, but she's concerned that she might, she's also allowed to wear the Evan to Kuma. It's considered intrinsic that's necessary for her. And also Beloisha Ibra. We're not even talking about a woman that we know for a fact that she's even pregnant. We're even talking about someone that's concerned that she's pregnant and that's concerned that she might miscarry. Even that is considered intrinsic for the person as a refuah, and therefore she's allowed to go out with this Evan Tekuma on Shabbos, even if she doesn't even know that she's pregnant and even if she doesn't know that she might miscarry because she never miscarried before. However, the Gemara qualifies Rebbe Meir's statement that says that it's not only the Evan Tekuma, but even the counterweight of the Evan Tekuma that has the same weight that you could even use that on Shabbos to carry out. That's only if it was exact, that it's exactly equivalent to the weight of the Evan Tekuma, that when you weighed it, you found that it was exact, not that you had to take away or add a little bit to make it exact. Only if it initially was exactly, then it would have the same halachic properties as the Evan Tekuma. So the Gemara says a question related to this halacha of Rebbe Meir, boya baya, mishkel de mishkel mai. What's what if you take a counterweight to the counterweight? If let's say you weigh the Evan Tekuma with a weight, then you take that weight and weigh another weight to that weight, it's exactly the same. What's with that third one? Is that the same as the Evan Tekuma or not? And the Gemara says, take or let it stand. It's not clear if that would have the same halachic properties as the other counterweight, which has the same halachic properties as the Evan Tekuma. So the Gemara resumes talking about the halachas of refuah. Vama Abaya, and Abaya again says, Amar li, my mother told me, different things a person should do for illnesses, as the Gemara will continue on to the next daf with the same concept about different things to say that regarding different sicknesses. La'eshta bas yema, regarding a fever that comes daily, that a person gets this fever every single day. So he has to do the following procedure. Lishkul zuzichivart, you should take a white coin, that is one that's newly minted, v'lezel l'malachta, and they should go to the salt evaporators, that is, to the place where they evaporate the water from the sea, that they would take, they make these little irrigation pits that they would draw the water from the sea into these different pits, and when it was finally full, then they would block it off, they would dam it off, and then the sun would evaporate the water, and since it's salty, you'd be left with salt. So you go there, v'liskel miskali milcha, and then you weigh its weight in salt, v'litzari b'chalolo de beitzava, then you tie it at the opening of one's neck, and that is under his throat, the place where you close your shirt there on the top, but nira barka, with the strand of a hair, that's the process you would do, and if you do all these things, that will heal a person from a fever that comes every single day. But ve'iloi, and if you can't do this procedure, lace of a prasha shracham, then you sit yourself at the crossroads, v'chichazi shem shemana gamlo the dori media, and then when you see a large ant that's carrying something, lishkele v'lishadye beguvte nechasha, you take that ant and you throw him into a copper tube. And then you close it with lead. Then you seal it with 60 seals. Rashi says it's not necessarily 60 seals. 60, a lot of times, the shas is used as an exaggeration. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be sealed with a real seal that has an image. Rather, it means it should have a lot of things that, a lot of different layers, one on top of the other. You have wax on top of lead, and then you put on tar, and then you put on clay. That's what it means to say. And then, then you shake it in the copper tube, and you carry it, and then you say to the ant as follows, to unach alai, your burden is on me. In other words, what you were carrying till now, and that's because you saw the ant carrying something, now I will carry. And what I was carrying, in other words, my sickness, is on you. But then the Gemara says it's not proper. Maybe someone else already found this ant that was carrying something, and he stopped his sickness with this ant. And therefore, when you tell the ant what you were carrying is on me, you might be taking that person's sickness. So therefore the Gemara says, rather what you say the ant is to unai utunach aloch, my package and your package are both on you. However, the Gemara says, and you can't, if you can't even do this version to get rid of the fever, then you do a third version, lishkel kuzachata, you take a new pitcher, that is a small, new, little earthenware pitcher, but lazel nahar, you go to the river, but lemelein, you say as follows, nara nara, river, usvin kuzadabaya, lend me a pitcher of water, la'urchadikuli, for the routine that's come upon me, in other words, that every single day I get this fever, v'lahadishav zimnal reshe, then you take the pitcher of water and you turn it around your head 7 times, v'lashadjin lachori, then you toss it backwards over you into the river, and then you say as follows, nara nara, river, shokol mai diavli, take the water that you gave me, the urchadikli, the routine that's come upon me. In other words, the reference is fever. B'yayma asa, or b'yayma asa, on day it came, and on day it went away, and this version will help get rid of the person's fever that he has daily. Those are the three different versions a person could do that Abai heard from his mother to get rid of a fever that he gets every single day.